Going to get to your calls in a couple minutes here and continue our discussion of the Steeler defense. How good is it? Actually, how good is it? They're going against a historically good offense this Sunday. And maybe the other question with that, Limits, is what would constitute a good performance for the Steelers defense? Somebody could say a winning performance, you know, if you give up 38 and you win 39-38, maybe if you make late turnovers, things like that. But what in your mind would constitute a good performance? What are you thinking point-wise, yard-wise? How would you define it? I say low 20s, which is a tall task against the Ravens, but I think if you keep them in the low 20s, that's a winning performance with a splash play or two.
Against this good of an offense, about 24 points, a turnover, and a key stop in the fourth quarter to preserve a win.
There was one of those a long time ago. Well, not that long ago. The TJ Watt bearing down on Lamar Jackson when Harbaugh went for two to win it. That was good stuff. Jonas Schaefer, in the meantime, from the Baltimore Banner, is here to talk about the Ravens. Jonas, thanks for joining me. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. We talked yesterday a lot about Lamar Jackson and how he's getting maybe more freedom to change calls and things like that at the line of scrimmage, has more time to do that. Seems like they're trusting him more. Is that accurate?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the offense is within his control in a way that it hasn't been. I appreciate that you mentioned the time that he's being given, because under Greg Roman, you know, in the first, you know, when Lamar won his first MVP, it felt like in every other play occurrence where the play clock was getting under 5 seconds and, you know, they were kind of rushing to the line of scrimmage. They were getting the snap off. And I think that kind of hurt him when it came to deciphering what was happening before the snap. You know, you could disguise your blitzes a little bit better. You could, you know, hide some cards that maybe you would play after the snap. And right now they get into the line of scrimmage with like 15 seconds left. He's, you know, seeing if it's one high or two high. He's seen, you know, where the mic lined up. He's seen who might be blitzing. And he's been really, really good against the blitz. He's been really, really good against pretty much every kind of coverage. And I think a lot of that is certainly having better help around him with Derrick Henry and then the upgraded receiving core. But it's also just the development that you see from a quarterback who has, at this point, kind of seen everything. You know, he's seen every coverage. He's seen every blitz. And he has a much better understanding now of how to beat those blitzes and those pressures and those coverages than he did 2 or 3 years ago. And that's why he is, you know, the prohibitive MVP favorite right now.
One other thing he's seen is Diontae Johnson falling flat on his face on what should have been a wide open play. What is happening so far with Diontae, and will he get an increased role on Sunday?
Yeah, he's in a tough spot right now because obviously the Ravens are a great passing team. They're also a great running team. And I don't really know if Diontae at this point is like a top two wide receiver in either of those facets. You know, at wide receiver, they have Zay Flowers and Rashad Bateman, who are great at getting open against man coverage when the Ravens want to, you know, not really hide their cards too well and say, you know, we're going to put our best blocking wide receivers on the field because we're going to throw a pitch out to Derrick Henry, or we're going to have Lamar run the option. Then that's usually going to be, you know, Nelson Aguilar or Tylan Wallace. And, you know, Diontae is not that big, and he doesn't have that chemistry yet with Lamar. So I think there is still this coming along process where he just hasn't been on the field that often because either he's not fully comfortable yet with Lamar or fully comfortable yet with the offense or where his route depths need to be. And that definitely cut into his production. I mean, he didn't look all that happy after the win over Cincinnati on Thursday, and that was with him, you know, just going supernova at the end to win that game. I think that was obviously partly because he expected a bigger role and wants a bigger role, considering that he is going to be a free agent after this year. So it's going to be interesting to see what might happen on Sunday with Diontae if things really spiral and he's not getting the ball, because I'm sure you guys know that not great smoke signals for Diontae as he was leaving Pittsburgh and just kind of what he meant to that organization.
Jonas, I was looking at Justin Tucker. He's an interesting story because he's been such a weapon through his whole career. And I see he still makes all of the short field goals. And even from 40 to 49, He's something like, I don't know, 15 for 17 the last 2 years. So he's missed a couple, but it's the 50 plus where he suddenly seems to have lost his touch. What's happening with him?
And not just the 50 plus. I mean, he missed an extra point on Thursday. It seemed like it was going to loom pretty large because you just didn't know if you could count on the Ravens to actually outscore the Bengals. But it's been a weird thing to decipher. It's not, you know, obviously kicker play is not as heavily scrutinized as quarterback play. There's not really a Dan Orlovsky for what kickers might be going wrong there. What's interesting is that I think every single miss he's had this year, he's hooked it to the left. So it's always missing wide at the left upright. That was even the case for the extra point. You know, there's some internet, you know, YouTube video breakdowns about how maybe that the hold is partly to blame. You know, the Ravens kind of refreshed their kicking team battery a couple years ago when they lost their, you know, Pro Bowl long snapper, the Titans, and their punter, who was their holder, Sam Cook, retired, and they, you know, replaced him with Jordan Stout. Obviously, there's not a whole lot of clarity on just how slight changes here or there might affect these guys, but at a certain point, you know, the responsibility comes down to the kicker because the ball is going to be there, the laces are going to be out, and you just got to boot that thing through the uprights. And the Ravens just haven't done a good job with that. And, you know, their special teams, which for year after year have been consistently excellent, are like bottom third in the league right now. And I think that could potentially be a difference considering how good the Steelers are this year.
Jonas Schaefer of the Baltimore Banner. Last question, Jonas, is the defense. I guess this is a big question, but if you had to identify the main problem with this defense, what is it, and is it fixable?
They just are out of sorts in the secondary. I don't think there really is a silver bullet. I think it's somewhat fixable. I mean, you know, Brandon Stevens last year was a good cornerback. Marcus Williams last year, while playing with a torn pec, was a good safety. And now both those guys rank among the worst rated, you know, players at a position in the NFL, according to PFF. So I think this is probably a situation where they would prefer to have their bye sooner than week 13 or week 14, whenever it is, just so they can get a, you know, better handle on what actually is happening, how they can teach these things. But they need to bow up. They are probably the worst defense in the NFL against number one wide receivers. And here comes George Pickens, who, you know, this, you can probably count on one hand a number wide receivers in the NFL who are playing better than him. So they need to get their head turned around. They need to figure out, you know, why they're messing up these, you know, handoffs and zone coverage. They need to tackle better. There's plenty of talent there. You know, Nate Wiggins, first rounder, Marlon Humphrey, first rounder, Brandon Stevens, third rounder, Marcus Williams, extremely well paid, Kyle Hamilton, first rounder. They just haven't put it all together. And it's been a pretty shocking drop off considering just how buttoned up they were last year.
Will Humphrey follow Pickens around, do you think?
No, they really don't do that. They usually set Brandon Stevens on the left side. You know, if you're the quarterback, he's going to be on the left side. Marlon Humphrey on the right side. So unless they're in man coverage, which, you know, they do about, I don't know, like 30 to 35% of the time, then you can usually count on where those guys are going to line up for the snap.
Jonas, we appreciate the time, man. That was good info on the Ravens. Thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Jonas Schaefer from the Baltimore Banner. And he used to write for the Baltimore Sun as well. Does a really good job with them. Justin Tucker has been a curiosity, hasn't he, Limits?
It's weird. Like, it is odd that he's so automatic for so long in his career, and now he misses an extra point in that critical game.
I know. And then from beyond 50, he's 3 for his last 10. You didn't even think about that. Like, 55, he was golden.
He was automatic. I mean, even 60. Remember he booted that, 64-yarder to win the game against, I don't remember who it was against, a couple years ago?
50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Let's hit the lines for a couple minutes here before we welcome Chris Hoke for the 11 o'clock hour. We were talking about the Steeler defense. And it's been a really interesting case so far. Are they great? Are they good? Are they about to be exposed? What's happening here? Who do we got?
Let's start with our buddy, Steven.
Hey, Steven.
What's up, guys? Stephen Fabian here, Plum Native, Inside Edition correspondent.
Yes.
How's it going?
Good, Stephen. What's going on?
Loyal listener of the show, as you guys know, I have to say, number one, I enjoyed your argument yesterday with Limits there about the Pirates, but more importantly, I enjoyed your conversation about raisins and what happened to raisins.
Yeah, whatever happened to just Limits asked it, when's the last time you had a box of raisins? We both decided we were about eight. How about you?
Well, I have some insight here because I have four kids, okay? My six-year-old, she doesn't eat raisins anymore, but she used to love raisins. My twins, who are about to be three, they eat the raisins. Mm. And my baby, who's like 6 months, she doesn't eat anything other than milk right now. So I'm thinking the cutoff could be between, based on my research here, the cutoff for raisins could be between the age three and the age six.
Why, though? Why did your daughter stop?
I
can't figure it out. Why people just stop? Because they're so enjoyable up until that point.
And this girl used to love raisins so much, I got her a California Raisins shirt for Christmas one year because she liked raisins so much. Now she doesn't touch raisins. I don't know what it is.
It's one of life's great mysteries, Stephen.
Yeah, but I have an interesting – I want to ask you guys a question regarding to the Steelers' defense here. Interesting factoid. I've got an inside source. My neighbor across the lake on Lake Mohawk in New Jersey is a former Raven. He played for the Ravens for eight seasons, and he just retired 2 years ago. Nick Boyle, you may remember. He was a backup tight end, a blocking tight end,
yes.
Played behind Mark Andrews, played with Lamar. Good guy. He's become a good friend. He's got four kids, too. His kids and my kids are in daycare together right now. He helped me move my new washer up my stairs the other day. This guy, he's a fun guy, man. He's a fun guy. But I asked Nick, and what's cool about Nick is that he doesn't mind talking about football. And me as a diehard lifelong Steeler fan, you know, I could ask him questions until I'm blue in the face. And what's cool is he's open to answering them. And I asked him, I said, look, you've played against the Steelers so many times. Who did you hate playing against the most on that Steelers defense? I think his answer will shock you, and his reasoning will shock
Let's
you.
Let's guess.
Do you guys think? Who
yeah.
Do you, yeah. Who do you think it is?
So Nick Boyle was there 18 through 22. Is that right? Something like that?
No, I think you were right. 15 through 22.
15 through 22.
Contracts.
Who did he hate the most? Limits? You got a guess on that one?
Ooh.
I'm going to say Minka. What's your guess?
I'm going to say TJ.
TJ.
Both incorrect. Would you like to guess again?
Cam?
Alex Highsmith?
Joe, you nailed it. It's Cam. But guess what? His reasoning. And this is crazy because we know Cam, of course, man of the year, you know, doing all the service in the community, wonderful human, hopefully will be a career Steeler. He said, Cam talks more smack and is dirtier than any player he's ever played against.
Wow. How about them apples?
Shocking.
That's surprising.
Yeah. And, you know, I love to hear it because, to me, that's the leader of your defense, right?
I love
Cam,
to hear it, too.
In my opinion, Cam is having a phenomenal year. I'm so glad to see that he's fully healthy now. But, you know, I mean, the guy's playing like he's 10 years younger. But I love that he's the leader of the defense and he's talking the most smack. And, you know, is dirty and whatever. I think it's great. I think it sets a good example. I'd like to see more of it. I'd like to see more of it from this team.
So would I.
And really, my opinion on the defense is, let's get real. We are deeper on defense than we've been in years. You know, it was only a couple seasons ago where we had guys like Taco Wallace running around out there and other people we signed off the street. We had a man named Taco on our defense.
I remember him well. Well, listen to this.
You
speak of the animosity building. You wish more Steelers would play dirty against the Ravens. My friend Limits here is filled with respect. He opened the week by saying how much Steeler fans respect the Ravens and some have more respect than animosity toward the Ravens. He made it sound like they're going to sit around the campfire and roast marshmallows
Stephen,
together.
Stephen, I think you probably heard it. I think that there's some hatred there, but I think there's also a lot of respect when you consider the relationship and the rivalry between the Bengals and the Browns, where it seems like that respect is lacking compared to the Ravens, where it seems like more of an even fight every time, where Cincinnati and Cleveland, it always seems like there's just something extra there.
first of all, you guys are nuts if you think I wasn't listening to that conversation, because I listen to the show every morning. It's perfect for my morning commute from 10 to 11. I'm listening to the show.
Let's go.
Just keep that in your back pocket. And you're welcome for the listenership, or whatever you'd call it, for the ratings.
Thank you, Stephen. Yeah. We're down to 15 seconds here. We have Chris Hoke in the building.
Okay, I agree with Limits, kind of. I respect the Ravens a little bit more than the Bengals. I just sort of think they're on a lesser tier than the Ravens Steelers.
Thank you, Stephen. Great stuff.
That's my opinion. Thanks, guys.
See you, man.